I'd like to read a little bit from the book of Jeremiah. I just want to read a few verses here to leave on your mind, to impress on your mind. And I want to turn over in the New Testament. But here in chapter 3 of Jeremiah, the 11th verse, "And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah." How many of you know that you can backslide and still justify yourself in your wrong? "Go and proclaim these words toward the north, and say, Return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity." I want you to get something here as I read this. I say again and again in preaching that the trouble is to get people to acknowledge their wrongs. If you cover your sins, you'll not prosper, and sooner or later it's going to be revealed anyway. Nothing in the dark, it ain't eventually going to come to the light. "Only acknowledge thine iniquity." Now you say, "Brother Pike, how can I acknowledge mine iniquity?" By just acknowledging the fact that you've been wrong and that you've had a contrary spirit and that you want to repent over it and do what's right. That's the way to do it. I warn you in the name of the Lord, if some of you don't do this very thing I'm reading to you tonight, that you're going to get in bad trouble with God. Acknowledge thine iniquity. Some of you are acting real sanctimonious and acting just like you're going on with the Lord, and I meet you during the daytime and you grin at me and you laugh at, and you act real nice and act so sweet like honey wouldn't melt in your mouth, but just as quick as we get in the sanctuary of the Lord, then that evil spirit rises up again. And so then you're going to have to acknowledge thine iniquities. Listen at now. "Only acknowledge thine iniquities, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers unto every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you, one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And I will give you pastures according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." Now, I want to take just a few minutes and talk with you tonight, and I want you to listen real close to these things. He says here, "Turn, O backsliding Israel." Turn, he said, "for I am married unto you." And up above here, he tells you that you have done iniquity, that you've sinned against God, but you've not acknowledged your iniquity. You've not confessed your sins, the Lord said. You've not confessed your wrongs. You've not acknowledged them in your heart and confessed your wrongs that the people might know that you sinned against God. This is the thing you've got to do. "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper." He shall not prosper in the Lord. He shall not prosper in the natural. He shall not prosper. You say, "Brother Pike, what about all of those people out yonder in the world that's prospering? They're not covering their sins. The Bible said, I would that you were hot or cold. Because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth." Those people are out there in the world. Those people don't profess to know Jesus Christ. Some of them are church members. They go over here to church. Over yonder to church, they're church members. But they don't profess the high standards of Christianity. Not these people. They're cold and they're going to prosper because the Bible said God hath given them the land of Esau. You understand what I mean? But it's not so with you and I. We've got to acknowledge our sins and we've got to confess our wrongs and we've got to uncover the evil or else we'll trouble the church. And when we trouble the church, the Bible said, "They that trouble you, I will trouble them." I will trouble them, your enemies shall be my enemies, and they shall rise up against you one way and flee before you seven ways. So see, you've got to acknowledge your iniquity. He says here, "I am married unto you." I am married unto you. "I will take one of a city and two of a family, and I'll bring you to Zion. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart." Now notice up here, he spoke He said he would speak to you with his voice. He said, ye have not obeyed my voice. How many of you know what the voice of the Lord is? Do you know that the voice of the Lord is the Word? Did you know that when the preacher speaks, that's the voice of the Lord? The Bible said it not be him that speak, but the voice of the Lord that speak to you. Is that right? Is that Bible? He said, ye have not acknowledged your iniquities, and ye have not obeyed my voice. Who did he say that? He said, Israel, you have not obeyed my voice. Acknowledge your sins, the Lord said. Acknowledge your sins. Somebody said, Brother Pike, what do you mean acknowledge my sins? Down in your heart, let it dawn on you once and for all that you're not living the life you should live before God. Somebody said, well, I know that. No, you've not acknowledged it in your heart. You still think that you're going to get in. You still feel by some strange phenomenon that you're going to enter in through the gates of that city. But I tell you something, the Bible said without are whoremongers and dogs and sorcerers and adulterers and fornicators. And he said, Paul said, I say unto you, I said this once before, I say it again, they that do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Somebody said, well now, Brother Pike, I don't do those things. But the Bible said just to be stubborn and to be rebellious is the same as witchcraft. To practice witchcraft. Is that right? Now that I could tell you about a little incident that come in Brother Ernie's home. He had a vision. He and his wife had a vision. And God showed them something about witchcraft when I was preaching about it over here on Winchester Road. Is that right, brother? He brought it out just exactly like I said. And showed just exactly that to rebel is a spirit of witchcraft. And that's what we got in the church. We got some rebellious spirits here in the church. So then what is it? He said, I will give you pastors, and they will feed you according to knowledge. According to knowledge. How many of you know that we need some knowledge? I don't mean worldly knowledge. There's enough of that in the world. We don't need that kind of knowledge. But the Bible said, grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that we got people that just won't grow in the knowledge of the Lord? You say, but Brother Pike, we come to church. Coming to church isn't growing in the knowledge of the Lord. Just because you come to church, that doesn't mean that you've grown in the knowledge of Christ. You've got to do more than come to church. You've got to come to church and be more ready to hear than give the sacrifice of food. I said something here about people shouting. I believe in shouting. I believe in praising God. You say, well, why don't you have it? I don't know why you don't do it. Don't nobody stop you. I believe in it. But some of the people that shouted and mocked me are some of the very people that's falling into these snares that I warned them about. I've seen some of these very same people shout till they fall out on the floor. But you see, the devil was there all the time. Is that right? He was there all the time. Now, shouting ain't going to do it. He said, I will raise up pastors that will feed you according to knowledge. Is that right? He says, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. They've got knowledge and they know how to feed you. They've got understanding and they know how to feed you. And they'll feed you knowledge and they'll feed you understanding. And then in return, you will know how to lead somebody and guide somebody. So then what does he say here? He said, only acknowledge thine iniquities. Folks, that's a time when we need to acknowledge iniquity. If iniquity is in your heart, you need to acknowledge that iniquity. Because it's like a web, and after a while it's going to get itself entwined about you, and you're not going to be able to get out of it. A lot of people might have thought that this thing that just happened was undercover, but it wasn't undercover. God knew about it. He knew about it. I went face to face with the man and told him. I said, your wife's not jealous for nothing. I told him the evil spirit of lust had a hold of him. And it shocked him. I said, you need to lay it on her because she's getting all upset. I couldn't come and tell you all these things. But I told him. He didn't deny it. He said, what can I do about it? He acknowledged his iniquity. But the only thing, he didn't acknowledge it in the way he ought to acknowledge it. He should have got up before the church and just told the church of the condition that he was getting into.
Is that right?
That's what he should have done. And should have asked God and asked the brethren to pray and give him strength. That's what he should have done. Stand up, confess it. Don't give place to the devil. Because when you give place to the devil, he's going to cause you trouble. There is many of you, I know that you come and sit in the service, for which I'm very grateful. I'm thankful for the opportunity to minister to you. But I tell you in the name of the Lord, there is people that come here night after night that have evil spirits working in their lives, and you don't do anything about it, folks. I preach to you day after day. I tell you to acknowledge your iniquities day after day. I preach to you, the other brethren preach to you, but you still don't do anything about it. Now then, what's going to happen to you? What happened to this person? What's going to happen? These individuals that's involved, I talked to every one of them. I talked to every one of them. Here, he says in the Word, acknowledge your iniquities. Acknowledge it. In other words, let it come to view. Let it come into your heart. And then make a confession of it. And not only confess it, but he said, he that confesseth and forsaketh his sins. Let's acknowledge it. Let's confess it. And then let's forsake the thing and get away from it and don't go back to it anymore. You say, Brother Pike, do you ever expect to have a church to where you don't ever feel anything wrong? I certainly don't. I certainly don't. As long as there is people in the world and the devils in the world, there's going to be things recorded on the mind of human instrumentality that's going to interfere with the anointing and the mind of Jesus Christ. But I tell you something, people. This is all right if it's something that's spastic. If it's something that just comes occasionally, that's all right. But when this thing begins to repeat itself in your heart, and over and over and over in every service you do the same thing, you're bound with an evil spirit. You're bound with an evil spirit. Now, I made a statement concerning the individual that just run into trouble. And we got some more like this in the church, too. There is some people that can come into the church, and when they come in, they can just dismiss everything from their mind, and they can be just as sanctimonious as you want to be. And you can't pick up a spirit about them unless you've really got the anointing of God and the discernment of God. You never think there was anything wrong in their lives because they got too much fear of God to come against the anointing. But some of them are just as wretched as they can be. Just as wretched as they can be. Now, I'm not for the individual that comes into the house of God and rebels against the anointing. I'm not for that. That's a foolish thing to do. But I'm not for the other either. I'm not for the other either, because one of them is a spirit of deceit. One of them is a cover-up, and the other one's just got so much in the mud they can't cover it up, that's all. So see, Brother Branham used to say six of one and half a dozen of the other. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. What can we do about it? He said here in the book of Jeremiah, he said, acknowledge thine iniquities. Acknowledge thine iniquities. Show forth thine iniquities. Testify and say, I've been short in the work of God. I've come up short in this thing. And I want somebody to help me. And I want to overcome. And then don't play around on God, folks. Don't play around on God. Don't play around on God. You can't play with this thing. After a while, you get burned, you play with this thing. Don't play with the Lord. I've run into a lot of businessmen, and I've run into a lot of intellectuals, and I've run into a lot of people, and they thought they were pretty smart, but they outsmarted themselves. The Lord showed me in leaving Hendersonville, a man up there thought he was pretty clever. He thought he was pretty smart. He's been with the Lord a long time. He thought he had the answers, but the Lord showed me the wrath of God falling in the man's living room. You don't have the answer. This is the answer. This is the answer right here. You don't have it unless it's God's Word. And the Bible tells us, he tells us that we are not only to be a hearer of the Word, but we are to be a doer of the Word. He said, he that is a hearer only of the Word is like a man that builds his house on the sand. There's a lot of you hear it, but you don't do nothing about it. But he said to be a doer of the word. Be a doer. He wants us to be a doer of the word. Did you know that I've been preaching the gospel for many years? And Brother Ernie, Brother Tom, Brother, any one of these brothers can get up here to preach the gospel. And did you know that I listen with ears of precision to every word that they say? Did you know that's the truth before God? I might turn and I might squirm and I might twist, but I'll tell you there's not too much that gets past my ears. I'm listening because I know that's the voice of my master. Whether it's coming through a child in the Lord, whether it's coming through a grown-up in the Lord, whatever it is, I want to hear the voice of the Lord. I might miss the very thing that can save my life, save my child's life, or the very thing that can save my soul. I may miss it. I want to hear the voice of the Lord. I want to hear the voice of the Lord. Acknowledge thine iniquities. Acknowledge thine iniquities. How? That thou hast transgressed against the word. That thou hast transgressed against the Lord. Acknowledge it, he said. Acknowledge it. Acknowledge that you transgressed against the Lord. You say, but Brother Pike, I wouldn't harm anybody. I just don't bother anybody. Yes, you do. You trouble your own self. You trouble your own household. When you don't obey the word of the Lord, you trouble everybody that's around you. You can't help but trouble them. Why? Because there's an evil spirit there. You're bound to trouble them. You can't do nothing else. Just like that man across the street over there. It keeps rising up. He keeps telling me, stood out there and told the police. He said, I don't bother anybody. I said, yes, you do. Or he said, I don't. I said, yes, you do. I mind my own business. I said, no, you don't. It's our business, too. When you stand up and curse in front of people, curse in front of the little children, talk filthy, that's my business. That's your business. That's every decent person that walks the earth's business. And if you've got a backbone, you'll make it your business. I know we're limited. Not in the Lord, but we're limited in the things that we can do in the natural. But I'll tell you one thing. We cannot be afraid of evil spirits. We cannot back down from the devil. You say, but somebody might kill you. Well, so much the better. The quicker you do it, the better off you are. I'd rather somebody kill me tonight than be a coward. I might get killed tonight. One thing about it, I don't die a coward. Somebody said, well, I'd rather be a live coward or a dead hero. I hadn't. Just reverse it. Just reverse it. If I got to live a life of a coward, I'd rather be dead anyway. That's right. To me, a coward's, they say a coward dies over and over and over and over, and I believe he does. In his mind, he dies over and over because he lives in fear all the time because he's a coward. I believe, as I said in the early part of the message, I believe that we need real, genuine 12 praises for God. I believe we need men of courage, men of boldness, men that can stand up and testify for God. And as Brother Branham said one time in preaching, he said, come on and let's be a hero for Jesus. I believe that's what we need. I believe we need some heroes for Jesus. I believe we need somebody with backbone for God. Anybody can be a beatnik. Anybody can be a bum. Anybody can get out. Any kind of woman can walk along and pull her dress, slap up above her knees. That don't take nothing. That ain't nothing. Anybody can run around in a bathing suit and put paint all over the face. Even the Indians done that. Even the heathens go naked. That don't mean you nothing. Anybody can make money. Oh, you say, no, not anybody. Yes, they can. You can go out and pick up bottles and make money. Go out and dig fish bait. I know people that's got fish bait farms making money. And he'll make money. That don't mean you're nothing. Somebody said, boy, he's really something because he got a business head on him. That don't mean that's a bunch of junk. That don't mean nothing. The Bible said, having food and raiment, be there with content, for you brought nothing into this world, and it's for sure that you'll take nothing out of this world. A man is smart
when he works for Jesus. A man is smart when he wins souls. The Bible said, he that wins souls is wise. That's when he's smart. That's when he's wise. Anybody can run from coast to coast. I can run from here to California and Florida and Canada to Mexico. That don't mean nothing either. Like Brother Bobby said one time, running without a message. That don't, you know, just running across a continent. That don't mean nothing. You might wear your body out, but you still haven't done anything. But said, he that winneth souls is wise. You're sent for the perfecting of the saints of God. That's what you're sent for. And I believe that's what we got to do. I believe that this is what we've got to do. And if we don't do it, then the blood's going to be on our hands. How can we do it, Brother Pike? First, by acknowledging thine iniquities, he said. By acknowledging thine iniquities. I believe that when people confess their sins, acknowledge their iniquities, and turn to God with all of their hearts, then the Lord said, I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal their lands. If them that are called by my name will humble themselves, fast and pray and forsake their sins, he said, I'll hear from heaven. Anybody can be a Jezebel. Any woman, that is. Anybody can run around and show their knees. And I said here the other night, I don't like to look at them. I hope we got some more people that don't want to look at them. You need to keep them covered up. Oh, you say, well, I just can't do it. Well, I'll tell you one thing. That devil of lust, someday it'll drag you through the mud. It'll drag you through the mud, and it'll keep dragging you through the mud. And them little pretty knees that you think so pretty, and them little pretty legs you think so pretty, someday you'll have varicose veins running up and down that look like a bunch of snakes wrapped around them. That's right. Someday God may have to take them off at the knee. You better cover the things up. That's right. I know women that had such a pretty face that they thought everybody ought to have a look at it and had to paint it up and dial it up. Some of them's got scars slap across here. I tell you, if you've got anything, use it for God. Use it for God. The Bible said you're the temples of the Holy Ghost. You was made to glorify God in your body and in your spirit and with your substance. Glorify God. That's the thing we're supposed to do. Acknowledge thine iniquities. Acknowledge thine iniquities. Go and proclaim these words, he said. What kind of words? Acknowledge thine iniquities, folks. Ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. You've not obeyed it. You've not obeyed the voice of the Lord. This is a simple message tonight. This is a simple sermon. Something that's easy to understand. Ye have not obeyed the voice of the ministry. You have not obeyed the voice of the preacher. Not obeyed the voice of the word. You've not obeyed it. Somebody said, well, I come to church. I heard the preacher. It doesn't do any good to hear the preacher unless you're going to do what he tells you. You'd be better off never to have heard the preacher than not to do what he tells you. Well, brother, you're in hot water. That's right. When the preacher tells you something and brings you to the enlightenment of the word, and then when you don't obey the word, you're really in trouble then. You might pass through a city out here, and if you don't know the law and the law happens to stop you, he'll be merciful with you. But I'll tell you what, you let him stop you and let him know that you was breaking the law, and then see what he does to you. That becomes willful sin. How many of you know there's no remission for willful sin? How many of you know there's no repentance for willful sin? How many of you know that there's no blood atonement for willful sin? What is willful sin? He said, after that you have come to the knowledge of the truth. Then he said, if you sin, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but only the fearful looking for of the judgment and the fire indignation of God that shall devour the adversaries. Some of you know better. Why did this man get in trouble? Got in trouble like he did. Why did he? Because he didn't heed the warning. He didn't heed the warning. The warning went out, but he didn't heed the warning. He didn't pay any attention to the warning. Why are some of you getting into trouble? Why are some of you going to get into more trouble? Because you don't heed the warning. We are warning you. When I tell you these things, do them. It's like the President of the United States. He gets up and he says a lot of things. Everybody maybe turns your radio on. Maybe about a third of them pays attention to what he's saying. Maybe about maybe half that many of them will obey what he says. But what keeps all of them from doing it? Every one of them ought to hear him. Every one of them's responsible for the democracy of our country. Every one of them's responsible to each other. We're our brother's keeper. Why doesn't everybody hear him? And why doesn't everybody heed? In the church, it's the same way. The preacher preaches. Why doesn't everybody hear him? Why doesn't everybody pay attention? Why doesn't everybody obey? You say, well, Brother Pike, you're never going to have anything like that. They had it on Pentecost. They had it at Pentecost. The Bible said 120 people in the upper room, and every one of them was in the same mind, the same spirit, the same burning zeal and desire, which was the word within their heart. In the upper room. Every one of them. The Lord said, I will restore the upper room experience. I will restore, saith the Lord. That's thus saith the Lord. I will restore, saith the Lord. After the cankerworm is eaten, the years the locusts have consumed, after the caterpillar gone, I will restore, saith the Lord. To me this very day, it shows something special to me. Something special. I'm not esteeming one day above another. Every day is just alike in the sight of the Lord. But this shows something special. And that special thing it shows is that the hour of the great restoration of the Lord is at hand. The great hour of the upper room experience to be restored to a people that's in one mind and one accord. God said, if I can get any two of you to agree, as touching anything, nothing shall be impossible unto you. But whatever you say, he said, I'll do it. This is why I'm striving for a church of perfection. This is why I'm drilling. This is why I'm driving. This is why I'm not looking for a great multitude. Peter and him were trying to see how many they could get in the upper room. What they wanted in that upper room was somebody in one mind and one accord. Brother Tom, this is the upper room. We've done left the natural word. We've gotten into the spirit. I've chosen you out of this world, Jesus said. We're in the upper room with Christ. And I need somebody that can get in one mind and one accord with me. This is what I need. What is it going to be? It's going to be the body of Jesus Christ. It's going to be the army of Joel that won't break ranks. It's going to be that great army that God said I'll send forth that will not pierce each other through. Some of you break ranks, you don't even get out of church good before you break ranks. Some of you break ranks sitting in the church. You know, that's a fact. Some of you sit in the church and still break ranks. Did you know when you go to preach another doctrine, that's breaking ranks? Did you know when you go to say something contrary to the word that the preachers preach, that's breaking ranks? Did you know that when you murmur, when you complain, and when you grumble, did you know that's breaking ranks? That's breaking ranks, folks. God's looking for somebody. Just one little group. That's all he wants, one little church. The Bible said in the days of Eliseus, there was many widows in the land. But Eliseus was sent to one widow. That was all that he was sent to. There was a lot of widows in the land. There was widows all across the nation. But the Bible said when God spoke to the prophet, He went to one little widow. That was all that he went to. And that one little widow didn't reserve anything for herself. She gave that prophet everything that she had. Everything that she had, even her living. Even when they went in the temple, Jesus saw the little widow cast in. He said, she's cast in out of all that she has. Everything that she has, she's given it. Some of you have not done so well, folks. Some of you have not put everything you could behind the work of the Lord. Neither in fasting, neither in prayer, neither in concern about the children of God or the work of God. You haven't put even half of what you ought to put behind it. Some of you. That little widow did. That little widow did. In the New Testament, the Bible said there was a virgin in the land. There was somebody that had read the Bible and had heard from the mouth of the prophets that a virgin was going to conceive and bring forth the son. And she wanted to be that virgin. She wanted to be that virgin. And she set out to be that virgin. She stood out to separate herself from everything else in the world to be that virgin. And God's got a virgin in the land today. And she's going to conceive by the holy inspiration of the divine revelation of Jesus Christ and bring forth a man-child. She's going to do it. She's going to do it. And it's not very far away. There was a virgin in the land. And the Bible said there was many lepers in the land in that day. Many leopards. But Eliseus was sent to one. Just one. That's all. Just one. One. Who was the one? Somebody that could swallow down their pride. Swallow down their worldly integrity. And go down to an old muddy river and take a bath in the mud hole. That's right. That's what we need. Acknowledge thine iniquities. Acknowledge thine iniquities. For thou hast not obeyed the voice of the Lord. I will raise up pastors over you, better after mine own heart, that shall feed you with understanding and feed you with knowledge. Acknowledge thine iniquities. Praise the Lord. This is all I feel like saying. Tonight, feel like that this marks something that God's doing. Something's happening. And I feel like this marks it. Feel like this marks it. I'm looking for somebody. I don't mind telling you. I'm looking for a little group. A little group. Not a big multitude. Not a big crowd. You could take thousands of people. Thousands of people. But did you know unless they gather together in the name of the Lord, they're not even having church? You've got all the denominations of the world. Billy Graham draws thousands, multiplied thousands. But said if just two of you come together in the name of the Lord, it's church. I'm in the midst of them. But teeming thousands can get together. And if they're not in the name of the Lord, that's not church. God's not in the midst of them. That don't mean anything. Who is God looking for? Don't you believe that in the days of Elijah? Don't you believe that God had some big outfits back there in that day he could have sent Elijah to? Don't you think he could have? I believe he could have, Brother Ernie. He had some big outfits back there. Jezebel had a great big outfit. She had hundreds of prophets. Ahab and him had hundreds of prophets. Why didn't he go over and join up with them? Why didn't God send him over there to their organization? He was sent to one little widow. One little widow. If Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, where is he at today? Where is he at today? Where is his heart today? Where is his desire today? Where is it at? You know what confounds the people? Because he was made like unto his brethren in all things.
They said he's the carpenter's son. Why did they say that? Because he was made like unto his brethren in all things. Is that right? Is that right? Why is it when he said, you have not obeyed my voice? Why? You have not obeyed my voice. Where is his voice? After all, that's the carpenter's son. But where is the voice of the Lord? Let me tell you something, folks. It's here tonight. It's here tonight. It's here tonight. Paul said, who hath believed our report? See, that's where the trouble is. Not where is the voice of the Lord. But he said, there'll be a famine in the last days. There was a famine in the days of Elijah. There will be a famine in the last days. What will the famine be? Somebody said there'd be a famine for the Word. The Bible didn't say there'd be a famine for the Word. Somebody said there's a great famine on Brother Pike. Nobody won't preach the Word. Oh, no. The Bible didn't say that. It didn't say a thing about the famine for the Word. There's plenty of the Word in the land. It's rolling off the presses and books just like this. It's on television. It's everywhere. Even in Paul's day, he said, whether it be preached for contention or otherwise, nevertheless, it's still preached. Where is the famine? He didn't say there'd be a famine for the preaching of the Word. He said there'd be a famine for the hearers. There'll be a famine for the hearing of the Word. Faith cometh by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. Where is the famine? You don't have anybody that'll endure sound doctrine. You don't have anybody that'll listen to the Word. That's what he meant. Where are those that'll listen to the Word? Who hath believed our report? Faith cometh by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. Oh, somebody said, I hear, but having ears you hear not. Somebody said, but I do hear. Having ears you hear not. Somebody said, I'm not blind, I see, but having eyes you see not. You see not. If you could see, and if you could hear, then you know that more than the carpenter's son would be present tonight. Jesus said, why is it you don't hear my voice? He said, because you're not my sheep. He said, my sheep hear my voice. And a stranger they will not follow. They said, you being a man, make yourself God. Jesus said, is it not written that I called ye gods? Why he say you blaspheme? Because he said, I'm the Son of God. You don't have eyes to see, folks. You don't have ears to hear. That's where the trouble is. Something is happening, but it's happening in the Spirit. It's happening in the Spirit. I look at some of you folks back there, and I can tell, according to what I understand, you're as blind as you can be. You look right straight at me, some of you have come out of religions that's supposed to be the strictest sect on earth, and you're as blind as you can be. And the thing that's blinding you is the same thing that blinded the Jews, the very same thing. Self-righteousness. Acknowledge thine iniquities. Acknowledge thine iniquities. Acknowledge thine iniquities. Somebody said, I've been a Christian 20 years. I don't believe it. You might have been a church member 20 years, but when you say I'm a Christian, that takes something, folks. When you say I'm a Christian, that means Christ-like. Have you been Christ-like? I'm afraid you haven't. The Bible said they first called Christians at Antioch because they were Christ-like. That's a big statement when you say you're Christian. Let's stand together. Acknowledge thine iniquities. I feel like tonight that what you need to do is acknowledge your iniquities. I am of this opinion, and I believe that it's true, that when I finish preaching to you, when other ministers have finished ministering to you, that there's going to be few of you that find it. Even among the congregation that we have, according to what I can understand, it looks like some of you are going to be lost. It's going to be few that find it. That makes you sad. You say, Brother Pike, that makes me sad. I know it makes you sad, but it doesn't make you sad enough for you to acknowledge your iniquities. It doesn't make you sad enough for you to swear to your own hurt, as I said the other night, and come back to church without changing. It doesn't make you sad enough to fall on the stone and be broken. It doesn't make you sad enough to really get in there and live for Jesus Christ, does it? That's a sad thought. That broke Jesus' heart. He hung on the cross and it broke his heart because he'd done everything he could to win the people and still knew that they were going to be lost. He even looked at his own disciples and said, "I've chosen 12 of you. One of you is a devil." It broke his heart. Can you imagine out of your own congregation? Know that there'll be a betrayal among you. Out of your own people, know that things is working in their hearts and in the shadows. Why? Because they're covetous. They're covetous. They love this world's goods. Satan loveth, he savoureth the things that be of the world. Cars, not only cars. Houses, not only houses. Furniture, not only furniture. Clothes, not only clothes, but frolic, laughs, joke, rebellion, selfishness. All of those things that go along with the flesh, having your own way, pouting and puffing and steaming and feuding. He loves those sort of things. Pulling on cigarettes, sucking on a cigarette, taking a dip of snuff, chewing the cud, taking a little drink on the side. He loves those kind of things. Bow your heads with me. Father, Lord of heaven, as we come to the close of another service tonight, we're grateful, O Lord, for thy Spirit and for thy blessings. We are very thankful for thy loving presence. And Lord, we're living in a day when we need your love. We don't need the accompanying of instruments or music. Lord, we don't need anything but your word. And God, we're thankful for that word today, the same word that went out, Lord, in the days of the apostolic times. Lord, that stretched across the continent with its great power of deliverance, Lord, and Lord, of its enlightenment to bring that which was needed among the people. And today, Jesus, we're thankful because there is a people that's coming up in the land, Lord, that doesn't need anything but thy word. And we're thankful, Jesus, for this word. We're thankful for this people who are that word made flesh. And I pray that this little body, as Jesus said, Father, when he prayed to you, I pray not for the world, Father, but I pray for these that you've given me, Lord, that you might bless them. And Lord, that where I am, that there they may be also. I pray, Lord, this prayer unto you, God, to keep these, Lord, that you've kept in your name and that you've kept by your Spirit. And I pray not for the world, but I pray for these, Holy Father, that you might do this that I've asked in the name of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and for his love and for his glory. Break the yoke, and I feel the yoke being broken now. I ask you to do it. Heal the sick bodies. Enlighten the people with knowledge. In Jesus' name, amen. Shake hands with somebody, come back and be with us.